Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today, my guest is to be Stanton Friedman. We've been trying to reach Stanton, and maybe he's stuck in traffic somewhere. I have no idea. I know he's in another part of the country. So we will be waiting for him to call into the studio. So at this time, we're just going to open up the phone lines, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, you can at 888-815-9756. And I have some thoughts that I wanted to share with you. Again, my guest, Stanton Friedman, we are trying to reach him and waiting for his call in. We do not know what has happened. So if he calls in, we will get him on the air right away because his book, Science Was Wrong. Stanton is known a great deal for his works with UFO, et cetera. And this really gives some good information about how confined thinking can really muck up the works. And along that line, I wanted to share a story with you because it's significant. Now, this goes back a few years. It takes place in Monterey, California. And in Monterey, pelicans are just so popular, and they are wonderful, wonderful birds. Well, this was at a time when, after cleaning fish, the local fishermen would throw all the entrails out, all the waste product into the water. And, of course, the pelicans would just fly out, scoop it up, and they became pretty fat and lazy. I mean, after all, they were getting fed all the time. Well, eventually, the fishermen were able to find a market for fertilizer and some other items that could use the things that they had been throwing into the ocean that the pelicans had been feeding on. Well, they weren't throwing it into the ocean anymore. For all intents and purposes, they were recycling what had been thrown away. Well, the pelicans, consequently, no longer had free food. And they made no effort to fish for themselves. This had been going on for so long that they just didn't do it anymore. And they would wait and wait and wait for the handouts that had been going on for a long period of time, but the handouts weren't there. So a lot of these pelicans starved to death, and observers said the birds seemed to have forgotten how to fish for themselves. Now, there's another angle to this story, and that is there's an elderly woman. She's waiting for a bus. She's severely crippled with rheumatism. And she's got all kinds of packages, and when the bus door opens, the driver offers her a helping hand, and she shakes her head and says, no, I'd best manage alone. If I get help today, I'll want it tomorrow. Now, some of us might say, wow, that really is silly. If we could help her, it would help her. But she said, no, I want to do it myself. Have you ever had a kid that said that to you? Mom, let me do it myself. And we have to back off. Well, she, as an elderly woman, was taking a positioning that she wanted to do whatever she could do for herself and stand to the best of her capability on her own two feet. And she felt that if she didn't do this, eventually she wouldn't be able to. George Bernard Shaw once made a comment. He said, people are always blaming their circumstances for what they are. I don't believe in circumstances. The people who get on this attitude in this world are the people who get up and look for the circumstances they want. And if they can't find them, they make them. Many times we get locked into ruts. We have, using a common term, a welfare term, you just say, well, it's expected. This is owed to us. Have you ever known anybody or an environment that said, I don't need to do anything, you owe me, this is something that I deserve, whether or not you've earned it? or another person has earned it. And the key is, if we become too dependent on anything or anyone without having the resolve to move forward and to be what we can be, then we're going to find ourselves really in a deep six, so to speak. We'll be like the pelicans. We'll forget what we're capable of doing. And many times when hard times hit, and a lot of people are going through that right now, but I can tell you, I've never known a period in life where hard times haven't existed for someone. Ask the individual that's gotten cancer, or someone that maybe has lost a member of their family all of a sudden. Or perhaps they've lost a job. What do you do? How do you work with situations? The key is to understand that you have resources within yourself. And there's no such thing as a free lunch. But there are options, and there are different ways of doing things. So if you don't want to be like those pelicans that ended up starving to death because they've gotten fat and lazy by depending on what had been feeding them to be there forever, well, then you need to go the other way. We can all look at history, see nations, governments that have gotten fat and lazy and then decided the entitlement issue was theirs to constantly enforce. And invariably, it breaks down and the cycle begins again. So we all as individuals have a responsibility to keep ourselves alert, active, and poised for the fact that change can come in. And one of the things that I have heard in conversations not so long ago, people saying those individuals that went through the period of the Second World War, they called them the silent generation. These are people that experienced real, real difficult times, and they knew them, they understood them, and they pulled together as a team to survive them. Some of them didn't, but many of them did. Those that did survive the difficult times came out stronger for it and tried to pass it along to others. But sometimes, instead of passing along their wisdom, they tried to make everything for their family members or people that they loved perfectly comfortable where they would never have to suffer or go through difficult times as they did. And not unlike the pelicans, they actually weakened the individuals that they loved so very much because they didn't enforce the development of their strengths. And that's something we need to be aware of. If you focus on yourself, if you're going through some difficult times, and you're out giving the best that you possibly can, and you have integrity with yourself, you can't help it, help someone along the way. But a lesson that was taught to me many, many years ago is that if you can't help yourself, you're really not going to be able to help anybody else. Again, I don't know that a pelican helped another pelican, because if the pelicans all together didn't know what to do, they couldn't do very much for each other, could they? This is something we always have to keep in mind, no matter what our age is. Resourcefulness, earnestness, honesty, integrity. All of these qualities are necessary for a rich and fulfilled life. And it enables us to even see dreams fulfilled. But life does happen, and there are no guarantees. There are no safety nets. There's no security, excepting what you've got within yourself. And if you don't believe me, read history. I think as I get older, history becomes more and more interesting because it enables us to do what we need to do for ourselves. And then we can form those networks of people that can end up being part of our team that enable us to achieve what we most sincerely desire. Well, we've not been able to reach Stanton Friedman, so we will probably be rescheduling him for another guest appearance, but he may surprise me. He could have gotten stuck out in traffic somewhere. I do not know where he is at the moment, but by golly, I know that we will connect again. So anyway, telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is a telephone number that if you'd like to call in, let me light up your life with a little bit of insight. I would be happy to do that for you today on this Friday. Now, I wanted to share some information with you. It has to deal with science and folk medicines. There's been often through generations those folk remedies that people have utilized. In the Appalachians, they had their dandelion drinks they would prepare from the new shoots of dandelions when they came up. And they called it their spring tonic. Well, guess what? They found out that a lot of those country ways were really quite valuable because it gave the body nutrients that it had been deprived of during the long winter months. Well, here is some information on an ancient Chinese potion. Now, in 2001, there was this potion that was made out of a ground rock, a particular kind of ground rock, and a toad venom. Now, this was being investigated as a promising experimental cancer treatment at the Sloan Kettering Hospital in New York City. Now, the scientists that were investigating this had no idea why this mysterious potion worked. But the arsenic trioxide that's in the potion appears to cure a particularly devastating kind of leukemia. Question is, how did the ancient Chinese find out about it? Also, where did the scientists find out about it? How did they learn about it? What they discovered is that it worked, and they don't know why. The human body really is absolutely amazing. And, you know, today's morticians, talking about science a little bit, they say that people, once they have been put into the grave, you know, they don't decompose as fast as they used to. Why? It's because of the preservatives that we have in the foods. They're actually stored in your body cells. And so it takes longer for the body to break down. Just a little bit of trivia there. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Now, I'm going to have a yummy chocolate recipe for you in the latter part of the show today, so be sure you have your pad of paper and pen handy. There is information about recycling that we're getting all the time. One day I fully expect they're going to have some kind of a vaporizing machine. No matter what you put into it, it's going to break it down into a molecular structure that can be recycled very easily. The metals and minerals and everything else will be segregated out, and we won't have the landfills like we've got today. We'll have a whole different system. Oh, I know, that sounds a little Star Trek-ish, but I really do think that there is going to be something that is going to be developed that will enable us to deal with trash, not just on the Earth, but also in outer space. I think that that is something that's going to be very, very much a significant consideration, as it is today. I forget how many tons of trash we've got floating around up there. Well, we've got many times more tons of trash down here. But there is an individual that decided he was going to take on the challenge of recycling. And I've got a photo in front of me of a home that he built that is absolutely amazing. Now, this is a guy, when you'd see him on the street, you wouldn't think he's any different from anybody else. However, he likes going through dumpsters. That's right. His name is Dan Phillips, and he likes to go through garbage. Well, that's not exciting to me at all, but this guy has an agenda. Now, he's in Texas. He builds homes from items he has recycled from garbage dumps. And he said the average landfill contains what he considers 40% usable building supplies. Now, this gentleman is in his 60s. He said in his city, they were burying enough materials to build a small-scale home every week. So what he decided he was going to do, and this started 12 years ago. Yes. Now, this guy's got an interesting background. He's a former dance instructor. He was a translator for the Army. He is a puzzle maker, formed his own company, He also developed a for-profit construction company that builds low-income housing with at least 80% recycled materials. And he loves being creative with them. He's shingled a roof with cast-off license plates. He made a floor out of wine bottle corks. He turned tree branches into doorknobs. And to the best of my knowledge, he's built 12 homes plus that range in size from a 350-square-foot one-bedroom to a 1,000-square-foot four-bedroom. The cost, you're going to have a hard time to believe, $199 to $450 a month. That's what it costs to own this. And he said the reason he does it, not only is it a challenge that he really enjoys, but he said it gives people a place to call their own, and he said then they're a part of the community. And he said going to the dump, that's just part of the fun. Wow. How many people would have that kind of an attitude about going to a garbage dump? My hat's off to him, and I'll tell you, I'm absolutely astonished at the beauty of what he has, you know, just has created. He used old shingles to make a striped roof, which is so colorful and beautiful. And he said throwing materials away, as far as he's concerned, is a bit piggy when so many people don't even have a decent place to live. And he also used picture frames. Yeah, he used them to form a ceiling. Imagination? There's no end. There is absolutely no end to what you can do. It's that resourcefulness that I was talking about a moment ago. What can you do that is going to be a bit different? How will you handle it? How are you going to adapt to the changes that are coming your way? Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Now, by the way, for those of you that are interested in going to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, which is coming up in Buckley, it's going to be the first three weekends in August. All of my passes are gone. I don't have any more passes left, so I wanted to be sure to let those of you who are listening in the state of Washington to know that. But I do hope you'll come on out. Look for me at the booth, which is going to be with bright yellow banners with gigantic red lions on them. And just look for me, and I'm going to be out there doing many consultations with people, and I'm going to have a whole slew of books, so I hope you'll stop by and say hello. This is an event that is truly a family event, and the costumes people wear, all of the action that goes on and activities, it is marvelous. I've known people that have made it a regular part of their fall experiences because they have such a good time. And oh, the talented people out there. This is being held at the Merritts Farms in Buckley, Washington, and that is the first three weekends in August. So I hope you will come out. And again, don't forget to stop by and say hello. Also, I wanted to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up. I haven't gotten my list up yet on BBS Radio, but it's going to be coming up real soon. We're going to be talking about sustainability. I was just talking about a man who in Texas is doing business by building very cost-effective homes that are beautiful, really quite nice. Well, Dr. Stuart Rose is going to be talking about sustainability on a whole new level. And then on Tuesday, we'll be talking with Claire Cooper Marcus. Iona Dreaming is the title of her book. This book is magical. This is a woman's journey to an island where she's closed off from so many things and what she experiences out on that island and how she discovers herself. Then we're going to be talking with Dr. Patty Kyle about healing your mind, rewiring your brain. Science is discovering that the brain is not something that starts losing its little gray cells and you're going to just be out of it. No, your brain is actually replenishing itself, and it can expand in its capabilities. So that's going to be coming up. Then Voices of Strength, Sons and Daughters of Suicide Speaks. This is Judy Fox, and she's had personal experiences, and she has been telling the stories of people who have lost members of their family and how they've been able to cope with it. So if you've had an experience with suicide with a friend or a loved one, this may be something that would be very insightful for you. Then Bill Nolan, Bill was rescheduled because he had some extenuating circumstances that just didn't make it possible for him to be able to do the show, and consequently, we had to reschedule him, and we're going to be talking about The Bleeding Edge. Now, Bill Nolan is a world-renowned science fiction writer. The man is incredible. I've known him for years, and this is a publication regarding science fiction that is truly unique, and he has a wonderful sense of humor, but also a very vivid imagination, he and a lot of other people. So we've got a dynamic listing of people coming up as guests. This list will be up by the 1st of August, so you'll be able to check and to see all of the different people that are going to be on the Donna Sebo Show. Oh, and by the way, don't forget, if you have a story of the paranormal, I would love to hear from you. And the reason being is that I'm putting together a book that I would like to have 100 stories. That's my goal. I'm aiming for by the end of the year. And if you have had a special experience, whether it's deja vu or dealing with something very, very unique, out-of-body experience, dreams that have come true, I'd love to hear your stories. Why? Because your story could make the difference in the life of someone that might pick up the book and want to learn about what they're going through and how maybe they can deal with it in a very normal and comfortable way. Absolutely, paranormal typically is normal. It's when we don't understand what's going on that can make a difference. So, Donna Sebo here, give me a buzz if you would like to chat. The number to call into is 888-815-9756. Too many people worry. You know, we're really taught how to do a good job on that. We will get anxious over things that we have absolutely no control over. Have you ever talked with someone that after they've listened to a newscast, they walk around for days and go, I'm just so worried. I am so worried about this. And you'll say, well, what are you doing about it? Well, there's nothing I can do about it. Then why are you worried? Oh, my goodness, do you know what? Well, all of that worry just wipes you out. And you're not constructively doing something. I was talking to someone just the other day that is really linked in to certain political shows. I'm telling you, their blood pressure goes sky high after they watch these shows. And they go on and on and on in their conversations, in their criticism. Finally, I said, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, and they go on and on and on and on and on. Have you ever noticed this with somebody? They don't have any solution. And they don't intend on putting out any action. But man, the stress levels go really sky high. Well, there's some wonderful ways to sort of let go of the worry habit. And I'm not saying that there isn't time to be anxious about things, or because it's going to happen. But you have to take dominion over your own environment. And I know sometimes it's easier said than done. But I'll tell you what, I came across some suggestions, and these are by Sulan Nolan, and she said that there are certain things you can do that can relax you, that can enable you to let go of what you have no control over. Of course, one of the best remedies is meditation. Maybe you're so stressed and anxious, that's the last thing you're going to want to do. So just try some breathing in. Relaxing and letting go, and just breathing in, being conscious of your breath to the count of four, and then exhale through your mouth to the count of four. Another thing that you can do is to have some kind of a fragrance. I think vanilla is one of the most soothing, comforting aromas you could ever want to smell. But herbs and spices like basil, thyme, and cinnamon, also mangoes, oranges, and grapefruit, seem to affect the brain. And they don't know exactly why it does, but it does. So if you feel like you're something like a worry wart and you just don't know how to get past it, you just get so stressed, well, those are some suggestions. Also, and this can happen when you're in a car. You get so stressed. Maybe you're in traffic. I had a friend that called me one day and said, I'm in this traffic and it's just so upsetting. I said, can you do anything about it? No, I'm stuck here. There's a big accident. I said, all right, turn on some nice music. Listen to some music. Do you have any CDs or tapes that you can play in your car that you can listen to? Or just sing to yourself. Do something. But you have no control over being stuck in traffic. You're in that spot. There's nothing you can do. So these are just, you know, some odds and ends of tips. And remember to loosen up. That's right. And that's where some exercise, going out for a walk. I'll tell you what, a girlfriend of mine used to scrub floors. When she'd get so worked up that she couldn't think straight because she was so stressed and so worried about things, she'd get out a scrub bucket. She had just disciplined herself this way. Trust me, she didn't have too big a floor. But she just would scrub. And she said by the time she got through scrubbing, she said it was just going through the motions. Maybe she'd wash windows. She said, I had to do something physically. And then the stress was relieved and it would go away. So those are things that you can do. You just need to remember, if you really want to get anxious, do a good job. Give yourself a timer, 15 minutes. Yeah, maybe make it 10. And worry, 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 worry in that time frame all you want. A good thing to do sometimes is just sit down and write out, oh, how stressed you are, how bad everything is, da-da-da-da-da, whatever you need to do. And then timer goes off, you say, okay, that's enough of that. Put it in the shredder. You know, if you want, you can burn it, whatever you're going to do, and say, okay, I don't have time for that anymore, and get on with life. Because that is going to get you out of that. It takes an action of some kind. So you shift your attention to what you can do something about instead of getting stuck with what you can't do anything about. Worrying is a part of life I think we are deliberately taught to do. And I have to remind myself, I have to say, you know, stay consciously present and mindful that there are things that I can take care of and other things I can't. You just need to do what you can do with what you have. This is Donna Sebo. Stan Friedman was not able to make the interview today. We're going to be rebooking him. And if you want to call in, the mic is now open to chat with you, 888-815-9756. Don't forget, I'm going to be sharing a chocolate recipe with you. And then I have some interesting comments on the recession, how you can deal with it more effectively, especially if you are in business for yourself. How would you like to know how to utilize technology and operations to streamline a business? Maybe you're thinking of doing something like that. Believe me, the technology that's being developed absolutely is mind-boggling. I don't know how anybody can keep up with it. I was having a conversation just before I did my show today that was evolving around this very subject, and they were saying, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do the other? And so on and so forth. And I'm going, whoa, I don't know. That's not my area of strength, but I've got a friend that might be able to help me with it. So it's a new lesson of learning. It's ongoing. It never stops. It never will. It's just the way life is. And isn't that grand? This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Welcome, my lords and ladies, to the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, located at Marist Farms in Buckley, Washington. For 3 weekends in August, starting August 7th and 8th, we will transport you back to the days of old, where magic and merriment reign. Come see the multitude of musicians, dancers, jugglers, gypsies, peasants, nobles, pirates, and prestidigitation. That's magic for you commoners. Learn to swing a sword or shoot a bow and be knighted by Her Majesty the Queen. Hold your breath as jousters wheel their mounts around to engage in full contact combat on the field of battle. Sign on to sail the seas with scurvy pirates, or sit down with friends and family for turkey legs and a fine brewed ale. Delights abound for the young and old at the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, so come one and all, starting August 7th and 8th, for fun and excitement, and may your day be fair. For tickets and info, go to www.washingtonfair.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I told you I have a chocolate recipe for you, but before I do that, let me give you the phone number to call in if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Okay, this is a chocolate liqueur. Now, if you ever had a chocolate that is shaped like a bottle that's filled with various liqueurs from around the world. Well, I have, and there are some I like and some I don't, but it has been a very popular gift often during the holiday season. You'll especially see them in the stores. But how would you like to make some of your own? That's right. And you could put in your own favorite liqueurs. And this is absolutely a delightful recipe. And it doesn't make up a whole bunch, but it's something you can experiment with. And here you go. It's just so easy. And what you want to do, you want to have the little candy cases that you find chocolates in. Well, you want the smallest ones you can get because these are so flavorful as chocolates that depending on, like, if you used an orange liqueur or an amaretto or a Grand Marnier, something like this, it is just going to be a hit. If you were to give this as a gift to someone, they would just be loving it. It's absolutely terrific. Now, this is what you're going to need. You're going to need 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate, 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate, and get the good chocolate. Don't go cheap on this because your better chocolate is going to have the better flavor. You're going to need about 5 candied cherries. You want to cut those in half. You're going to need about 10 hazelnuts or macadamia nuts. And then you're going to need 2/3 cup of heavy cream, and then 2 tablespoons of confectionery sugar, and 4 tablespoons of your favorite liqueur. Then you're also going to need these other ingredients, and this is what's going to finish up your chocolates after you make them. You're going to need an additional 1¾ ounces of dark chocolate, and it'll be melted. You're going to need a small amount of white chocolate, and that'll be melted also, or you can use white chocolate curls, or if you want it, extra nuts, cherries, candied orange pieces, but you just need little tiny bits of this. Now, this is the process. You're going to need to line a cookie sheet with baking parchment. You'll melt your 3.5 ounces of dark chocolate, and then you want to spoon it into those tiny candy cases. And this will be enough for about 20 of them. And what you want to do, you just want to line. You want to move the chocolate around. You want to line the candy cases with a small spoon or a pastry brush. I would recommend the spoon over the pastry brush. And, you know, you can go to the dollar store if you wanted to and get some of those little baby spoons. They have like a rubber piece on the end of them. That is wonderful because that allows you to move it. And to move the chocolate more readily, you might just want to give it a little bit of a spray with non-stick cooking spray, and that way the chocolate will leave the spoon fairly easily. Then as you're doing that, that chocolate is going to set up real fast. You'll peel away the paper cases, and then you want to take a piece of cherry, like a half a cherry, or a piece of nut, and put it in the base of each one of those candy cups. And you can use any of your nuts. You can use almond, you can use pecan, you can use walnut. The choice is yours, or macadamia nuts, or hazelnuts, whatever you like, whatever is your favorite nut. Then you're going to make the filling. And your filling is going to consist of that heavy cream, which you want to put in a mixing bowl, and you want to sift the confectionery sugar onto the top of the cream. And then you want to whip the cream until it's just holding its shape and then you want to beat in that 4 tablespoons of liqueur. Yes, it's good, I'll tell you. Then you want to put the cream in a pastry bag, and you can sit it with a 1/2-inch plain tip and pipe a little into each chocolate case. Also, what you can do, if you don't have a pastry tip, take a Ziploc bag, put the whipping cream and all of that inside the bag, and then twist the bag, cut a little tiny hole in the bottom, and then use that to fill your candy cups with. So if you don't have the pastry tip, don't worry about that. You can use a plastic bag, just cut a hole in the corner. Then that needs to be, those 20 candy cups need to be put in the refrigerator for about 20 minutes to a half hour. So if you want to finish them off, they're going to be pretty just as they are. But what you'll do is you'll melt that additional 1 3/4 ounces of dark chocolate, and you're going to cover this cream that you have put in there, and then you want to take your melted white chocolate, if you'd like to use that, and swirl it into the dark chocolate and using a toothpick. And then you will let it set to the side, and it's going to get nice and hard. And also what you can do with this cream, with these little candies, they are so nice. You can cover it with white chocolate curls, or you can have a little bit of nut or cherry. I mean, your imagination. There's no limit to what you can do. So depending on what kind of a liqueur you use, that depends on how you want to decorate it. But there's no end to what you can do with this. And then you can find a nice little box, pretty little box, and put some tissue paper in it. Put those candies in there. What a wonderful gift that makes. And it has such a special, special taste. And gee whiz, coming from your kitchen, done by you, that even makes it even more delicious. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Do you like helping people get their dreams? Well, I'll tell you what. I think Susan is a woman that decided she was going to make a difference in other people's lives. Now, how she was going to do that, I don't even think she had a clue as to what she was going to do to make it happen. But you know what? It all started because she was transferring supplies from Kuwait to Iraq. And you know what? When she got home, she was having a hard time finding work. What evolved with her is that she ended up developing a business that helped a lot of other people. So what happened with her? Susan said she was really having a tough time. She was divorced, a single mom, and she happened to bump into somebody that owned a used car shop. The individual listened to her story and said, you know, I'm happy to help you out. Why don't you come on over to my car lot, and I'll give you one of my used cars. It's not going to be especially pretty, but, hey, it'll be wheels. It'll get you around. Well, she said that automobile meant independence to her. Stop and think about it. That's in part what made this country great, was the capacity to travel from one point to another. Independence. That's what having an automobile gives us. Well, she ended up being able to find a job because she had an automobile that allowed her to go from where she lived to where the job was. And she said this person had been so nice to her and had been so helpful that she had determined that the day would come when she was going to pass it on. That's right. She determined that she had to some way. She could never pay back the person that had been kind to her personally. But she thought, I can pass on the understanding that I gained from that experience to someone else. Well, there was a woman that wanted to come to work for Susan, and she could not, she just couldn't get there. She said, if I take a bus, it's going to take me a long, long time to get to your office. And she said, you know, I started doing some studying. this woman wasn't able to come to work with me because she didn't have a car. She said, I learned that people were spending up to 40% of what they earned just to commute to work. And she said, when she tried to find out about transportation assistance programs, there wasn't a one around. So she decided she'd start her own. There we go. There's that entrepreneur soul. She started a business called Wheels of Success. In fact, you can go to her website, wheelsofsuccess.org. Now, what she did, she built an organization to provide cars to low and middle income people so they can get around. One, they have a chance to get a job. Two, they can get to that job. Three, that enables them to take care of their family needs. However it can assist, an automobile is absolutely a wonderful, wonderful asset. So what Susan did to start up her business, she contacted a local towing company. She said, this is what I'm doing. I need to get some cars that can just be good transportation cars for people. Well, they said, hey, we've got two cars. Nobody's claiming them. We'll give them to you. She also engaged several auto technicians in fixing cars, people that she knew and trusted. They were going to do the job. She said they took cars that were considered lemons, and they rebuilt them, and they ran beautifully. Well, she was going along with this. One day she happens to bump into a woman named Janine. Janine had a new job position that was there. She didn't know how she was going to be able to get to and from the job. Susan said, I can help you. Because of having that automobile, not only did Janine have the job, but within a short period of time, she got a promotion. And she said to Susan later, I just don't know what I would have done because I didn't have the automobile before you. Well, Susan's now got a pit crew. Who are they? They're car dealerships, mechanics, insurance companies, all of them willing to help her with this business, Wheels of Success. And it gave a lot of hardworking people cars of their own that had warranties and had AAA memberships so they could really get to their jobs. If something happened to the vehicle, they could get the help they need. Paulette, a grandmother who was raising her 5-year-old grandson, was unable to afford a car, and they had to walk everywhere in Florida in high temps that they wanted to go. Well, someone told Paulette about the Wheel of Success, and they got a 94 model, and she said, you know what? It's enabled me to go back to college. Paulette, a grandmother, going back to college, all because of having an automobile. There was a single mom who, after losing everything in Hurricane Rita, found out about Wheels of Success, put her in a Jeep, and she said, I'm able to get out in life. Susan said, what's really nice about the whole thing is that I tell them my story and how by helping them, I'm paying forward what somebody had done for me. Now, she's given away already nearly 300 cars. Her business also helps with repairs and insurance. And she said, I like to say we give folks the gas they need to make it to the next station in life. The cars we provide aren't dream cars, but they do help people pursue their dreams. And I know what a gift that can be. My hat's off to you, Susan. You've done a great job. Wheelsofsuccess.org. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. And for those of you wondering where Stanton Friedman is, well, he wasn't able to make the show for some reason, which is highly unusual, and as soon as we can, we will be rescheduling him. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I wanted to share a story with you. By the way, if you wanted to call in, 888-815-9756. There are so many things that we do with computers today. But what would you think about a computer channeling a ghost? Well, that's exactly what happened. And it was in 1984. We're going to be stepping back a little bit in time here. Before the home computers were really popular and before we were really so involved with email and all of the things that we're doing with computers, there were a man and a woman, Ken Webster and Debbie Oakes. They were receiving electronic messages from another century. That's true. This is fascinating information. The couple lived in a cottage in Doodleston, Britain, and after they had renovated their place, they began to experience signs of a poltergeist, things being moved and rearranged. Now, one day, Ken, who was a teacher, borrowed a computer from his school, and he took it home. On the screen, something very strange was happening. There was a message on the screen, and the couple thought it was some kind of a joke and just ignored it. A few weeks went by. Ken borrowed a different computer, and then another one. And with each computer, a more in-depth letter would appear. And this is how it would read. What strange words thou speak, although I must confess that I hath also been ill-schooled. Thou art a goodly man who hath fanciful woman who dwell in mine home. 'Twas a great crime to hath bribed my house. Now, if you think it's strange listening to what I just said, you should be aware of the fact it is stranger still to read it, because it's written in very old English style when people wrote more phonetically. In the 1500s, Thomas Harton, as the correspondent became known, lived in a house on the same site as Ken and Debbie's house. And over the next 2.5 years, he wrote them more than 300 communications. Now, what was interesting about this is that sometimes the messages appeared on blank paper or on the floor, and they were written in chalk. In all, Ken borrowed more than 10 different computers, and Thomas Harden, who had lived in that area in the 1500s, came through every single one that they got. Now, they investigated this. This wasn't a hoax. They said notes appeared on a computer supplied by an independent investigator who left it locked in a sealed room and in that same cottage. Now, there was a linguist, his name was Peter Trinder. He verified that the language used was appropriate for the time period that Thomas claimed to be from. Trinder thought it really doubtful that anyone would apply the energy needed to learn the linguistic nuances of the era, saying the amount of effort involved in the process really is beyond belief. You know, in England, in the old-time spiritualist circles, they used to do what was called materialization, automatic writing. And it wasn't done necessarily by the medium. They used to put slates down, the black stone, and the chalk would write on the slate. So this is a real interesting story in that it was documented and recorded, and the person from the 1500s manifested through the computer itself as well as other means and modalities. Fun stuff. We never know it all. We never will know it all. And why this person decided that it was important to communicate, who knows? But it's there on the record. I know we just have a little bit time left. I wanted to remind you that this coming Monday, we're going to be talking about sustainability. Dr. Stuart Rose is going to be my guest. This is something that has become more and more significant in our world because we have a tendency to feel like everything can go on just as it is. That's not the way it can be. We are becoming more and more cognizant that as human beings, we are having an effect on the planet in a way that is very toxic. And so it's time for us to clean up our act so that we don't end up creating a toxicity for ourselves in a big way. We've done a pretty good job of it so far, but finally we're getting smart, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I wanted to share some information with you about Asamhu Roy of India. Now, I have his picture in front of me. This is a nice-looking young man who experienced a very, very serious electrical accident, and he had severe burns to his skull. In fact, his scalp was completely burned, and several months later, a piece of his skull actually fell off. Now, the inner covering of the skull was unaffected, and the new bone had grown and pushed the dead skull piece out. And he's holding a piece of this, he says, as a trophy. But it's absolutely amazing what the human body can do. And it's amazing what we as people can do with our lives, what we are able to do with whatever's going on in our lives, and how we can manage to create change sometimes in ways and manners that we would never, ever anticipate. Also, I wanted to share something with you, going overseas a little bit to Hindu temples across northern India. They have many different ceremonies that they go through, and I am looking right now at a statue of the god Shiva, and there is also another one apparently called Ganesh and Durga. And people feed these statues milk. And in one Shiva temple, there was a priest that said 21 pints of milk had been offered to a statue of Shiva, and that all of it had been drunk by this statue. Now, the Indian government scientist said that the milk had disappeared because it had effectively been absorbed by the statue. But, absorbing 21 pints? Interesting. And that is out of Ripley's Believe It or Not. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have an absolutely awesome weekend. And just give thanks for all of the blessings you have, because you really have a whole bunch. This is Donna. Talk to you on Monday, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.